Amen. Let's see your Bibles today. My bad. Let's try that one more time. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. How you doing? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. New Testament book number 6. And as y'all turn to Romans, anybody here for the first time? Just raise your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of y'all. God bless you. Romans chapter 6. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for being good to us. And we pray you bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 6. About 2 months ago, some people from the church organized the San Diego Half Marathon. And they ended the race at Petco, began and ended the race at Petco Park. And it was on a Sunday. And so in between the 10 o'clock service and the 12 o'clock service, I drove down to Petco Park to do a short speech, like 4 minutes, and then came back to church. And, you know, I got there, I heard this guy who was blind was finishing his 13.1 mile race. And so I have a lot of people I know in the race, and they've been kind of challenging me, asking me, you know, are you going to run? And I'm like, I don't run 13 miles. That's what I got a car for, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I started getting under my skin. Excuse me. So I figured, you know, I'm going to go, let me start running and seeing if I can get into it, because it's a long way to be running. So 3 weeks ago, I said, I'm going to go out and run 5 miles, because I think I run 5 miles once or twice. And one of those times was because I got lost. Went to visit my parents in Florida, and I went out to run, and I didn't know how to get home. So I just was running with my mommy's house. I ran for like an hour and a half, and I figured it was like 5 or 6 miles. So the other day, I figured I'm going to go run 5 miles. So I put on my stuff, and I'm running. And about halfway through, I was tired. And it was running up hills, and I was like, man, why am I doing this? It's like, I want to stop right now. But if I stopped, I had to walk home because I was far from home. So I figured, okay, I got to run, so I got to make it home. So I'm running, and I'm thinking, I'm telling my legs, keep running. Don't stop. And I'm like, oh, pick them up, put them down. Pick them up, put them down. Tell my arms, pick them up. Okay, we can just keep going. And I had to tell my body to run when I didn't want to run. I had to make it my slave. It's one thing to make yourself do something. It's another thing to make yourself desire something. It's one thing to make yourself do something. It's another thing to make yourself desire something. Now, as we continue and finish our series called The Freedom Project, we started this by talking about what we are enslaved to as people, as humans. We have a sinful nature. And if you read the Bible in Galatians chapter 5, it has a list of deeds of the flesh or actions: adultery, fornication, deceit, lie, jealousy, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of those, that list are deeds, things we do. But really what we talked about that day was that we're actually enslaved to not deeds, we're enslaved to desires, motivations, things that we want. We talked about being enslaved to having to be affirmed by man. I want people to like me. And if that's your hang-up, you will do certain things to get people to like you, but some of those things that you will do to get people to like you might be sinful. Or you're motivated by having more stuff than other people. Or you want to outdo people just for the sake of being better in your own mind. And if those are your desires, that will drive your behavior. And if the devil can poison your desires, he doesn't have to do anything to get you to do anything wrong. He has already gotten you wanting stuff wrong. And so when we talk about spiritual freedom, we're talking about having specific desires that please God. Now, let me be clear. You will always be someone's slave. You're never going to be free. You will always have a master. Your master is either going to be the devil disguised as you. What does that mean? That means that when you say, well, this is all about me, the devil's got you thinking exactly what he wants. Because you can't control your life. You can't control. Stop. Don't go to the bathroom until next Sunday when we meet. Try not to blink until the end of the sermon. Or don't breathe until the end of the sermon. You can't. You can't. You are not your own master. You're either being influenced by the devil or you're being influenced by God. You are someone's slave. And so freedom is about saying, Lord, I am going to voluntarily surrender myself to you and your desires. Let's read chapter 6 of Romans, verse 16. It says, Romans 6:16. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, everyone say slave of sin. Though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered, to which you were delivered. Verse 18, and having been free, set free from sin, you become a slave of righteousness. A slave of righteousness is a person who says, Lord, I want to get away from my bondage, and I want to desire the things you desire. Matter of fact, turn to Philippians chapter 2. You're in Romans. It's about four books back towards the back. Five books towards the back. Philippians chapter 2. That once you become a slave of Christ, he changes the desires that are in your heart. There's a verse in the Bible, Psalm 37:4. It says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that if you delight yourself in God, whatever you desire, he's going to fulfill. Lord, I want three wives. Okay, I'm delighting in you. I want three wives. You ain't getting three wives. You're going to get a smack upside your head. He's going to give you a desire to want one. So if you delight yourself in God, he's going to change your desires. Religion is, I'm going to do these three or four religious things, and God's going to be blessed with me, and then I'm going to go about my business. That's religion. That's not Christianity. Christianity is, Lord, change my heart so I desire what you want. I want what you want. I think like you think. Therefore, I will do what you want me to do. It has to come from the root. If the root don't change, the tree's going to bear the same fruit. So look what it says in verse chapter 2. Oh, by the way, how many of you, by a show of hands, work out? You do any kind of exercise. Okay, put your hands down. Now, this is Sunday and you are in church. So how many of you really don't work out and you just lie? No, I'm kidding. We actually, last service, had some people say, yeah, I guess I don't work out. How many of you ever in your life have ever done any kind of exercise whatsoever? There we go. Very good. Okay. Sometimes when people work out, they go, wow, my fat is turning into muscle. Or I'm growing muscles I didn't know I had. Well, let me tell you something. You always had all those muscles. They were just really small. And fat does not turn into muscle. That doesn't happen. When you eat steak, just in case you didn't know, the steak part is muscle. That's the muscle of the animal. When you eat chicken, the meat on the bone is the muscle of the chicken. Okay? And some of y'all right now are going, ew. What did you think you were eating? And then the white jelly part that you obviously know is fat, those are two entirely different materials, and one is not converted to the other. Fat never becomes muscle. Now, fat can shrink and muscle can grow. Two different things. Are you following me? Okay, so let's read. You're probably wondering, what does that got to do with? Just pay attention. Hopefully it works out. Verse 12, chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, now in my presence, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everyone say work out. Exercise the salvation you already have. You're not getting new salvation. You already have it. Exercise it. Use it. And then what does it say next? For it is God. Everyone say God. It is God who works in you to both to will or to desire and to do of his good pleasure. If you say, Lord, I am going to start to live for you, I'm going to start reading my Bible, I'm going to start praying, I'm going to surrender myself to you, he will increase your desires to pray, to read, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. How many of you in the last week woke up before you were scheduled to wake up and a little voice said, why don't you pray? Read your Bible. Do something spiritual. Anybody? Okay. How many of you in the last week heard a little voice? You were already awake. You were at work. You were working out. You were doing whatever. And a little voice came and said, why don't you do this or that? Something that was biblical. Anybody? Okay. Guess who's putting that in you? God. That ain't you. That ain't you. God is giving you a desire. Imagine if you said to God every day, Lord, I want you to put your desires in my heart. Woo! Lord, make me want what you want. Make me think like you think. Make me want to say the things you want me to say. That's a Christian. A Christian is not a person that comes to church, puts money in the plate, and says, I'm a Christian. That's a person who goes to church and puts money in the plate. God wants to take out your heart of stone that's hard towards him and put in a heart of flesh that's sensitive towards him. And he wants you to want what he wants. Don't be deceived to think, I did these three good things, therefore I'm good. There are people who hate God who do those same exact things. It's not doing the things. You don't get your salvation by doing good works. Your salvation is evident when the salvation causes those works. Two people can do the same thing, and one gets honor from God and one does not. It's one of the motivation. It's the motivation. Oh, let me help this old lady across the street because I really like her daughter. So come on, Grandma. Come on. See, check me out. I'm a nice guy. Come on now, Grandma. Versus saying, Lord's saying, I want you to go help that lady across the street because I want you to honor her whatever for whatever reason God tells you. It's right here. God looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. We're going to look at three motivations, three godly desires. And there's a whole bunch. They can all be summarized in your desire to obey God, but we're going to break them down a little bit better, a little more specific. Number one in your notes, I am motivated to invest in other people by whatever you put in the blank. Imagine if when you got up every day, when you went to work, you went to the mall, you went to wherever you go, school, you say, Lord, I want you to use me to help somebody. I want to invest, or send someone into my life I can, just one person I can invest in to help them be better, just for them, for their sake. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. You're right there, same page, right? Just up 12 verses. Verse 1, it says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Then verse 33, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each not look on his own interest only, but on the interest of others. Imagine if you, God gave you a desire and you saw in everybody else something better than you. Imagine if when you saw people, you saw and looked for things in them better than you. Instead of looking for things worse than you that you could talk about. Imagine if you said, I want to serve people. I really want to help people. If that was your mindset, what you would do different than you do now. There is a organization in San Diego called Star Pal. One of the things they do is raise money for youth programs in San Diego. And every year they have a luncheon where they have Padre players, Charger players, and local leaders in the community, police chief, mayor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, be waiters at this luncheon. And you're a waiter raising money for Star Pal. So what happens is if you get a table, your goal is to get money from all the people at the table, as much money as you can, and then you give it to Star Pal. It's a fundraiser. And everybody knows they're coming for that reason. And so I did it 2 years ago. It was so much fun because you get a table or two, and then if someone says, how you doing? You say, that's $2. Take $2. You want a fork? That's a dollar. And every time you get something for them, You got to charge them. And everybody knows that's what it's about. And all the money goes to charity. And so it's a big game. It's a lot of fun. And so I was going around, and I'm going to go Friday. As a matter of fact, if you want to come, you should register online. Go to StarPal and come on down. It's just a lot of fun. And so I'm going around getting all this money from people for everything they say, even if they look at me. I said, you looked at me as a dollar, okay? And then it dawned on me that I should be charging for ministerial services. At the luncheon, I'm a pastor, so I started saying, hey, can I pray for you? And they said, yeah, well, it's going to be $2. This is only for this event that this happened. Okay. I'm never going to charge you to pray for you or your ministerial services. So I was going around saying, you know, who wants prayer, who wants prayer, who wants prayer? It's going to be some money. And this one lady said, I got a prayer request. I said, okay, how much you got? She said, I got $2. I said, okay, I took the $2. I said, what's your prayer request? She says, can you pray for me to get a husband? I said, girl, what kind of husband are you going to get for $2? $2. So I'm trying to hook you up, one of these Charger players, one of these Padre players. I can hook you up right now. We can make this happen, but I need more than $2. It was so much fun going around saying, you know, how can I help you? How can I help? And I like doing that anyway. I always wanted to own a restaurant for that reason, because I wanted to do that. How you doing? Can you get some moving? Boom, 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 boom. I like making deals. They're making it happen. Imagine if you woke up every day and saying, God, who do you want me to help today? Not who do you want me to walk on today? Who do you want me to talk about today? Who do you want me to get over on today? Who do you want me to help? Imagine that. Imagine the very person you saw, you say, wow, look at them. They got talent. That's a nice dress. There's something positive about people. Imagine if that was your heart. You know what God looks at you? He ain't looking at you critically. He's looking at you saying, I love you. You are marvelous. He loves you more than you. He loves you more than you. How many of you have had a baby? When I say this, you're a parent. Okay, you remember when your baby was born? You loved that baby this much, and that baby didn't do jack for you. Can I get amen? Amen. I mean, they may be grown, still don't do jack. Can I get amen? Amen. Even a louder amen on that one. But when they're born, they're like this. I'm sorry, their eyes aren't even open. They don't even see you. They can't talk, they don't know your name, they know nothing, yet you love them this much. And all they can do is two things, eat and poop. And cry, yes, cry. And sleep, wow. God loves you like that. And nothing you can do to make him, nothing you can do to, nothing you. You cannot do anything to make him love you more. Or less. He loves you as much as he can. He always will. Now, it doesn't mean he approves of you. But he loves you. Number two in your notes. I am motivated to speak life into the lives of others. This is going to hurt. You're in Philippians. Turn one page towards the front. To Ephesians chapter 4. It should be one, no more than two page turns. Is that correct? Philippians chapter 4. Now I'm going to read this, and I want you to say, ouch, if it applies. Mm-hmm. This has to do with what you say. The words that come out of your mouth are from the overflow of your heart. Huh. Some people have some nasty words. You know what that means? Their heart is ugly. And 10 bad words means there's a whole bunch more just waiting to come out. There was a guy once, he ate so much food. He was over at someone's house, they kept feeding him. He says, the only place I have room for more food is in my mouth. My stomach is full, my throat, my whole thing is all full right there. I got food backed up right here. Y'all. The only place I can put food is right there. I can't even swallow it. People have so much junk in their heart that what you speak is overflow. The Bible says the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Imagine a glass of milk. You pour it in, you overflow it. The overflow is what you say. That means there's a whole bunch of stuff in your heart. Ah! Read this. Let verse 29, chapter 4, Ephesians 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. By the way, this is gossip, criticism, cursing. But what is except what is good and necessary for edification, building people up, or encouragement, that it may impart grace to the hearers. How many of y'all in the last week said something that maybe you shouldn't have said? Yeah. How many of you said something since you woke up today that you shouldn't have said? Imagine if every day you said, Lord, I only want to say what is going to bless people. I only want to say what's going to honor you. I only want to say what's going to make you look good, that people are going to see Christ in me by what I say. Imagine that. You wouldn't have to focus on what you don't say. You just focus on what you want to say. Lord, give me a desire to speak health into people, speak encouragement into people. That's not only words, it's tone. And by the way, email, really bad. What you say in email, because people can't, they don't know your tone. And you can email something so innocently and they're hearing your attitude when there is none. When people read emails to me, I always hear them read it, go, oh, they're saying this and saying that. I say, how do you know they're saying it like that? And they're not saying it like this. You don't. Be careful what you say. And someone who's walking with Christ and saying, Lord, I want to desire what you desire, and I want to say what you would say in the way you would say it. If that was your prayer every day, ooh, I was a parking lot attendant at Horizon Christian Fellowship in Claremont when I was starting the ministry a long time ago. Amen. And I was actually a youth pastor, but on this particular Sunday, I was given parking lot duty. I don't even know what my duty was, but I was out there. And this guy from another church was putting flyers on the windshields of the car about a healing service at their church. And I said, brother, you can't put flyers on the cars for your thing. This is Horizon. You go to, well, don't you, you know, you don't believe in healing and this is a good thing. And I said, brother, that's not the point. The point is we have rules and regulations. You can't just come here and just do what you want to do in the name of God. And so we started getting this discussion, and he started yelling at me and cursing at me. And I was like, hold up. I'm kind of new at this, but I don't remember it being allowed in the Book of Brotherhood where you can curse at me. Where's the love, brother? Where's the love? People are going to see the love of God by what you say. And how you say it, or one of the ways, I should say. I was at a conference years ago, and the lady who was teaching said, she had a quote, I'll never forget it. It was either the title of her book or something she said, and it was a sentence like this. You go up to somebody and say, you know what I like about you? And then you finish the sentence. Imagine if every day you just had one person, one. It don't even have to be somebody you know. It doesn't even have to be somebody you know. You say, you know what I like about you? And boom. Now you're probably saying, well, how would I know something about someone I don't know that I like? Very simple. How many of y'all go to Starbucks? Okay, you don't know the person behind the counter, and they're sitting behind the counter, they take your order, thank you very much, boom, 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 and they do your order right. You know what I like about you? You're good at detail. You're good at serving. You're organized. You can say that about, hey, thanks for opening the door. You know what I like about you? You're courteous. Boom. You can say that to, hey, you know what I like about you to the police department? Thank you for laying your life on the line for us. Firemen, thank you for laying your life on the line for us. You could say that stuff every single day. Now, if that's your attitude, if that's your desire, guess what's going to happen when you get an urge to gossip, which God hates, cause division with your mouth, which God hates. God, if your heart's with God, when you go to do something that breaks God's heart, it'll break your heart. If you're doing something that breaks God's heart and it doesn't bother you, your heart and God's heart ain't knit together. I'm going to say that again. You might want to write that down or tweet that or Facebook that or something. But if you're doing something that breaks God's heart, but it doesn't break your heart, maybe your hearts are not knit together. Someone who's walking with God, is you're saying, Lord, I want my heart to be knit together with your heart. I want to think what you think. I want to desire what you desire. Pray that prayer. There are some times you will not pray, God, give me your heart, because you're scared of what God will turn your heart into. And what I mean by that is that you don't want to be really holy. You just want to be a little bit holy. Because if you think if you're really holy, you won't be able to have more fun. I had a lady tell me that once. She says, I don't want to start going to church because I like doing this, I like doing that. I'm like, you think that and that is more fun than the fun God's going to give you? When you do your kind of fun, you got to go to the clinic. You got to get checked. When you do God's kind of fun, you can go to sleep and be good. Therese, I am motivated to be a conduit of God's blessing. I am blessed when I bless. I want to be a stream, not a lake. I want everything good that comes to me to be available to whomever God wants it to be available. 2 Corinthians, if you're taking notes, write down 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all mercies, who comforts, everyone say comfort, comforts us with all comfort, say comfort, in all of our tribulations, that we may comfort, say comfort, those who are suffering with the same comfort, say comfort, we have been comforted by, say comforted. In other words, God comforts you so you can comfort somebody else. You are a conduit of comfort. It may be that you're going through something hard right now. One of the reasons you are going through something hard right now is, one, you messed up, or you just, something's going on that's above your pay grade to understand. But one of the things God's going to do is going to give you comfort so you can comfort somebody else. How many of you would say that you have been through a very, very traumatic experience in your life? Very good. I'm sorry that happened, and I'm glad got you through it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's no temptation or trial that will overtake you that is not common to man. In other words, you're not the only one. God is going to comfort you so you can comfort somebody else. Don't hold that comfort to yourself. Get something out of it. Go bless somebody else. God has blessed you financially to bless somebody else. God has blessed you with things to bless somebody else. Ask God, God, what do you want me to do with all this? How many of you have clothes in your closet that you know you'll probably never wear again? How many of you have shoes? Now, focus to the ladies. Ladies, for reals, though, how many of you have some really nice shoes that you know you'll probably only wear one or two or three times in your life ever again? Give them away. Some of y'all have furniture, appliances. We got a thrift store. Go to the thrift store, give it away. I was driving here today, listening to the radio, Sleep Train. They sell the mattresses. They collect shoes for kids in foster care. You know how valuable a pair of shoes is for kids in foster care? Go give them some shoes. Not only is it easy, it feels great. It feels great. And if you donate something, don't donate junk. It's like when the Jews had to bring their sacrifice to the temple, they had to bring a calf. It had to be a good calf. Not a calf with a broke leg and psoriasis, can't even walk down it. Calf can't even go back. It can't say back. It go back. That's messed up. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about getting rid of stuff in your life. Lord, I want to be free. I want freedom from. How many of y'all filled out one of these? Raise your hand. Very good. Thank you. We want to do something symbolic to get rid of your stuff. God has forgotten it, by the way. There was a lady who went into a coma. Her name was Mary. Everyone say Mary. She went into a coma. When she was in a coma, she saw God and said, God, I'm not ready to die. God said, Mary, you're not going to die. You got 8 more years to live. She's like, great. She woke up out of a coma. She figured, I got 8 more years. I'm a party hardy. She got tummy tucks. She got new lips, Botox. She got booty poppers. She got all kind of extensions. Booty pop. Yeah, that's right. So Lord have mercy. She got all dolled up. She was clicking to the club, walking down the street. And she was walking across the street, and bam, she got hit by a bus and died. This is not a real story. It's a reenactment, okay? So she goes to heaven, and God says, and she says, God, I thought I had 8 more years. He looked at her and said, who? He says, Mary, is that you? I ain't recognize you, girl. I don't even know that was you. That whole... Where'd you get all that stuff you got on there? If any is terrible. The Bible says if anyone's in Christ, the old is gone, new has come. And when you give your life to Christ, people should not recognize you. They go, you're not getting mad? You will do things and want things that you thought were crazy. You'll lose your job and be smiling. Why are you so happy? Huh, just lost my job. You got another one? No. What are you going to do? I'm going surfing. Go for a trip or go on vacation. I'm not saying that if you lose your job and you're a Christian, you should be happy. But if you lose your job and you're walking with God, you absolutely can have peace. God can give you desires that you never thought possible. There's some of y'all here in relationships and your marriage, your relationship is messed up. God can fix that. He can change your heart. But you got to get rid of your stuff. You got to surrender. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little experiment that is a metaphor for God getting rid of your stuff. If this experiment doesn't go right, tell my wife I love her. This is your stuff. Okay, you ready? Ooh. So, but because God is a gentleman, he's never going to impose himself on you. The reason preachers like myself yell, well, he made us that way, but we're also trying to get you to trust God. So I'll say it like this. God loves you and he wants to transform your life. You can take it or leave it. You will have a master. You will have a master who wants to destroy you, or you'll have a master who wants to love you and bless you. But to whomever you surrender yourself as master, as a slave, you must obey that master. And if you say, I want to be spiritually free, and I want God to give me the freedom to do everything he's called me to do, you have to surrender yourself to Christ and do what he says. Even though you think you know better, as Ricky Ricardo would say, in the days of Lucy, you don't. Okay, all you young people, how many of you do not know who Ricky Ricardo is? You don't know Ricky Ricardo. How about Lucy Ball? Who doesn't know who Lucy Ball is? Lucy, Rick, you don't know Lucy. You don't know Lucy Ball? Lucy. I love Lucy. You're killing me. Well, Lucy was one of the funniest ladies ever to live on this planet, and Ricky was her husband in the program, and he was Cuban. He had this heavy accent, and he said, I don't understand. Don't know. Or is that my grandfather from Jamaica? One or two, I can't remember. You have to say, Lord, I'm ready to surrender my life to you, and I want you to give me your desires. I want you to give me a heart transplant. Take out my heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you can do surgery right now. You can change hearts right now. If you know that you need your heart changed, you want God's desires to be your desires, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of receiving. It's a prayer consenting to heart surgery. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe you love me. I believe you have a plan for my life. But I know my desires don't please you. The motivations of my heart are sinful. Please purify my heart. Please forgive me of my sin. Fill my heart with your desires, your passion. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you're asking God to do heart surgery on you, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you're in North County, there's going to be someone there who's going to pray with you in a minute. I want you to also stand when we ask people here to stand. If you're watching online, there's a button for you to click. We want to know that you prayed with us. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, Lord, purify my heart, just stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. We see you all over the room. God bless you. God is very, very, very pleased. God bless you. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you in the balcony as well. God bless you. Very good. God wants to change you from the inside. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Good, 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 good. Now in a minute, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you're going to have to do is walk, turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. So right now, if you're standing up, come up out of your seat, come on down to the altar, and give them a hand as they come on down.
How are you? God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. 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 Welcome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Say Jesus.
God bless you. 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 How are you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hello. God bless you. 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 God bless you.
Amen. Amen. There is one. one commandment that sums up the whole Bible. It's Matthew 22:37. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to obey God. That's to love God with your heart, mind, and soul. Let's give these people a hand. They come on down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. You can walk right here. God bless you. 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 One commandment is to love God with your heart, mind, and soul, which basically means obey God. If all of us just prayed every day, God, give me a desire to obey you. I just want to do what you want me to do. It is that simple. This whole book is that. That's all it is. Jesus said all the prophets, all the law, everything is wrapped up in that one commandment, and then love your neighbor as yourself. But that's a subset to loving God. If you love God, you love your neighbor. And so I just want to encourage all of you and all of us in here, every single day, it is really simple. Don't get complicated. You get so complicated with all this information you got to have in your head. And there's a lot of information is good, truth is good, but the bottom line is, are you obeying God in the context of a relationship with Him? That's what Christianity is. Religion is, I have information, I'm going to try to check the box and jump through the hoops. Christianity is bigger than that. It's a higher standard, because you're going to be walking in the mall and God's going to say, do this now. You're going to be driving down the street, do this now. And whether you do it or not, that determines what kind of relationship with God you have. And He's going to ask you to do stuff that's way above your head. That's not His problem. He's telling you to do it. It's like this little kid. He's going to pray 50 cents a week. That may not be a lot to you, but when you're 11 years old and you have no income, where's it going to come? I can't wait to hear how God provides for him 50 cents a week. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to be cool. So my challenge to you is say, Lord, I just want to desire what you desire. If you pray that prayer every day, when you got out of bed, Lord, give me your desires. Don't worry about it. He's going to make you into a nerd. You already are. Can I get amen? Amen? You're a knucklehead. You're not all that like you think. You're just not. You're not as funny as you think. You're not as cute as you think. You're not as smart as you think. You're not as talented as you think. Because our pride builds up to be something more than we are. I mean, and if you don't agree, it's probably your pride telling you that. The Bible says, esteem others better than yourself. Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. That's it. Lord, I just thank you for being so patient with us. And I pray we would be patient with each other and be loving with each other. Bless us that we may bless you, Lord. Give us your desires. Give us a passion to obey you and to honor you and to make you look good, not ourselves. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for these people. We just pray for these people. We're going to lead these people to that room. We're going to ask you not to leave until we get them in that room. And then we'll dismiss you. So we appreciate that. So right now, let's give them a hand as they walk in. Let's take this way.